Wyoming, and they're amazing events. And, of course, Team McCarthy has built that machine over years. If the Republicans were to vacate the chair, that machine falls apart. I mean, who in their right mind does that?
Well, certainly not for the Republican Party's political benefit, because, look, there are 18 Republicans. That's well more than the majority that the House Republicans have that represent blue districts, that represent districts Joe Biden won. And this has been a disastrous week for those lawmakers. Mike Lawler was doing some of the Sunday shows this weekend, and he's in a district in Westchester County, New York, that voted, I think, double digits for Democrats. He's been one of the, he's been a pretty conservative lawmaker, has a pretty conservative voting record, but is against this kind of nihilism, and he is not afraid to speak out against it. But he's also, you know, these are, there are a lot of members even in districts Trump won that are narrowly won by Trump, and these are competitive seats, and those are the Republicans that are freaking out over the chaos of the last week. I know we kind of punted this shutdown or punted this this funding for another 45 days, but this is going to happen all over again, perhaps in right before Thanksgiving. So, you know, I think the biggest, you know, not only is McCarthy facing a headache, but the folks that are the majority makers, the folks that are really the most important Republicans in that caucus, the ones in the tough districts, they are just having a headache after headache. And given what happened with their more far right colleagues.
Do you think that the average member of the Freedom Caucus understands what happens? They're going to put us back in the minority by us. I'm a Republican. You're not. I want to make sure people understand Josh is objective, nonpartisan. I'm a Republican partisan. But if they were to remove McCarthy, that will put the Republican Party back in the minority probably for a decade. Because I just think the donors will walk away. They cannot deal with a party this unpredictable. What do you think, Josh?
Well, who wants to be Speaker, Hugh? I mean, Kevin McCarthy, we learned that during the 15 rounds that McCarthy faced when he couldn't get that majority. But no one really was willing. No one wants to do the job. And it's a thankless job in a body that has such narrow divisions and where you only have a five-seat majority. So this is not not something easy. You have to be a sucker for punishment. Look, McCarthy, what's going to be fascinating, Hugh, is if McCarthy does some kind of pivot and tries in the run-up to the next election, you know, maybe cut some deals with Democrats. So Ukraine funding is a big, big issue, by the way, that got cut out of this 45-day continuing resolution. But there's a lot of pressure for a bipartisan group of Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats, and frankly, still a majority or about half of the House Republican caucus and Democrats to see if they can get aid to Ukraine, because it's going to run out. And you know, the future of Ukraine's ability to defend itself is really at stake. So that is another huge issue that's at play. And the fact that funding was not included in this 45-day CR is really giving a lot of heartburn to people who care about national security.
Yeah, I saw some of the online stuff. I think that actually funding will continue when we get down to it because the Senate will insist on it. But, Josh, I want to finish on the politics of it. There is no good political reason to do this. There is every bad political reason to do this. Will that persuade people like Marilyn Matt Rosendale, the carpetbagger from Maryland who's up in Montana and wants to be a senator? Does he understand it hurts him to vote for this?
You know, there is a small element of the Republican Party. We've seen this in past shutdowns. We've seen this in past cycles that are sort of nihilist. And the thing that makes this shutdown unique, though, Hugh, or the lack of a shutdown, but one that we almost went to the brink for, is that it really, what is it about? What is it about? You know, at least in 2013, it was about Obamacare, right? We've had policy fights where funding of the government was one of the sort of points of leverage. I don't think anyone even in Congress knows what this was about. Was it about deposing Kevin McCarthy? Is it about, you know, spending? Who knows? Like, this was one of the most, someone wrote that this was the Seinfeld of almost shutdowns. And that
was me and Mark Thiessen. We both put that out on the same day in the Washington. It's a Seinfeld shutdown. That tells you our demographic. It's a shutdown about nothing that never happened. So it was like perfect. But Matt Gaetz, he's not really a Republican. He's just a wrecking ball. Josh Kroshauer, always good to talk to you. Follow Josh on the site, formerly known as Twitter, now known as at Josh Kroshauer, editor-in-chief of Jewish Insider. Thank you, Josh. I'll be right back, America Tomorrow, on the next Hugh Hewitt Show. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Harley. I'll talk to you tomorrow, America.
when you absolutely, positively need the truth. This is where you turn. This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I gained a lot of weight because I was so bored. All I did was bake and eat, okay? And I knew I wasn't eating right, and I wasn't feeling right, and I didn't have any energy. And I said, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try it. Not only did it give me energy and help me feel better, but I've lost 35 pounds. I know Balance of Nature is not a weight loss type program, and it may not work for everybody that way, but for me it has, and it's given me energy. And I've been able to do stuff that I haven't been able to do in years.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code Hugh.
This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Whatever's on your mind, it's always best to talk about it.
I like talk radio.
Great you're talking about this. This is a great day.
You gotta listen to talk radio, and you gotta rise up. Can we just
talk? AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
If you like sitting around the porch or dinner table sharing stories with friends, that's what we like to do here at Our American Stories. I'm Lee Habib. We bring to you stories about American love, funny stories about first jobs, this day in history, American dreamers and marriages, and even the stories of music and acting legends. I invite you to sit around the porch with us as we share our American stories.
Every night from 10 to midnight on AM 670 KMZQ, talk radio done right.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. Hiring the right lawyer can make a huge difference. It can decide how much money you put in your pocket. If you've been injured in an accident, call me right now. 728-5500.
Paul Powell. More lawyer.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Some conservative Republicans are not happy with the way Congress has handled the latest federal government funding crisis, and neither is President Biden.
Hours after signing a bill that averted a government shutdown, the president expressed frustration with the near miss.
It's time to end governing by crisis.
He called out Republicans for not honoring their word on a budget agreement, which he said led to a manufactured crisis.
I'm sick and tired of the brinksmanship. And so are the American people.
The short-term spending bill approved by Congress will fund the government through mid-November. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Describing the case against him as a sham, former President Trump says he'll be in court today to fight for his name and reputation. Mr. Trump planning to sit in on the start of a civil trial in New York. It's in a lawsuit that's already resulted in a judge ruling that he committed fraud in his business dealings, a ruling that the Trump legal team wasted no time appealing. Amid burgeoning war fatigue on the part of the West, some of Europe's top diplomats have gathered in Kiev in a show of support for Ukraine's fight against Russia.
The foreign ministers from the EU's 27 member countries have converged on the Ukrainian capital for an unannounced informal meeting that officials say would review the bloc's support for Ukraine and discuss President Volodymyr Zelensky's proposed peace formula. The US, the EU and the UK have provided massive support to Ukraine, enabling it to stand up to the Kremlin's attack. But uncertainty has set in over how long Kyiv's allies will keep sending it billions of dollars. I'm Charles Ledesma.
Their work contributed to development of the COVID vaccines, and for that, two researchers will share this year's Nobel Prize in Medicine. Wall Street Dow futures down 76 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest-rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app.
This is your KMTQ News Flash. Nevada's gaming win in August relatively flat, with the state's 437 licensed casinos winning more than $1.2 billion from gamblers, a less than 1% increase over the same time last year. But the win was still a record for the month of August and the 30th straight month of more than $1 billion in gaming wins for the Silver State. Gaming win across Nevada for the current fiscal year is up 3.5% compared to the same time last year. Helped by double-digit gains in convention attendance, visitation here in Southern Nevada grew in August. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority reports 3.3 million visitors in August, a 4% jump over the same time last year, spurred on by more than a 64% increase in convention attendance. For the first 8 months of this year, convention attendance is up 30% when compared to 2022, with more than 4.1 million convention visitors coming to Las Vegas. With the start of October, more than 100 bills have now gone into effect here in the Silver State, including new regulations involving the sale of foil balloons, decreasing the amount of time a dog can be tied up in a 24-hour period, and making it a crime to share the personal information of election workers. Nevada doing a pretty good job of saving for a rainy day. The Silver State's Rainy Day Fund has reached more than $1.23 billion, the highest level in state history. State officials say the account's balance is testament to the Silver State's strong economic recovery and effective financial management. State law requires 1% of total anticipated revenue for each and every year to be transferred to that Rainy Day Fund. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website. The website, 670KMZQ.com. That's 670KMZQ.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. The use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet,
located on 215 and South Rainbow,
home of the...
It is a good, quiet start to the Monday morning drive-in. There are no accidents being reported to block the way, although if you're on the resort corridor, I-15 southbound on the Sahara off-ramp, watch for Nevada State Police. They've got somebody off to the side there, southbound... Leaving 15 southbound at Sahara on the off-ramp. Shaping up to be a beautiful day in the valley with clear sunny skies and afternoon temperatures in the mid-70s, 55 degrees right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become, we become... the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Monday, October 2nd. Good to have you with us on a brisk Monday morning in the Las Vegas Valley. Good to have you with us. We survived an historic week in the history of this country. Let's begin with what happened in the House of Representatives. It was just and the Senate for that matter. Tommy Pickett joining us, the Republican National Committee Rapid Response Director, and he joins us. We survived what was an historic week, Tommy. The big question is, will the Congress be the same, and will Kevin McCarthy survive?
Well, I think ultimately the House is going to decide, you know, who the Speaker is, but I think it's important to recognize that the passion we're seeing in the House is a reflection of the real crises that Joe Biden has delivered us into. And I think the focus really needs to be on the fact that the House Republicans have passed bills to secure the border, rein in inflation, empower parents, tackle the crime crisis, and Senate Democrats and Joe Biden have stood in the way of all of that. So I think Democrats need to look in the mirror, see the crises that they created, and come to the realization they need to stop obstructing the will of the American people and actually work with Republicans to solve these crises that Democrats created.
So what happens in 45 days? Are we going to be doing the same song and dance again?
From my understanding, so the House has already passed something like 75% of the appropriations bills necessary to open the government. My understanding is the House Republicans are going to move through the rest of that process to fully fund the government. But again, this is where the Senate Democrats need to look in the mirror. The Senate Democrats have taken almost no action to actually solve a lot of these crises and fund the government. The Senate Democrats have instead blocked efforts to do that. We've seen almost no movement on the side of Chuck Schumer and Senate Democrats. And Joe Biden, meanwhile, is MIA. Joe Biden was nowhere to be seen during these discussions. He was attending multiple fundraisers on the other side of the country, in fact, for much of it. So I think, you know, it's hard to tell what Senate Democrats are going to do. But as an example to show that Democrats are purely playing politics with this, Senate Republicans put a bill on the floor that would have ensured that our troops got paid if there was a shutdown, to make sure that our troops who'd be going on duty anyway would get their paychecks. And Senate Democrats blocked that bill before the shutdown. They blocked it because they wanted to hold that pay hostage. So it's kind of hard to tell exactly what's going to happen in 45 days because Senate Democrats have shown, and House Democrats, in fact, too, have shown they'll do almost anything to play politics with this, including literally pulling a fire alarm.
What would have happened if we had not done something, if the House and the Senate had not concurred? What would have happened? I mean, what is shutting down the government? Those that can't remember back to, well, whatever it was, 2018.
Well, it sort of depends exactly what parts are funded and what isn't. I mean, there's certain elements of the federal government that would have shut down. I mean, there's always those famous pictures of parks and memorials shutting down or being closed, for example. But there's also services that would shut down. But it also just depends on what exactly is funded. So, for example, if a shutdown happens and there is no supplemental or other additional piece of legislation that's passed, the military wouldn't get paid. I mean, that's part of what happens in a shutdown is the military has to stay on duty, but they don't get their paychecks. They get back pay eventually, but they don't get their paychecks during the shutdown. But that would have been prevented if you passed that piece of legislation Republicans put forward to make sure they're paid. So what exactly happens when a shutdown happens sort of depends on what specific legislation is passed. Generally speaking, those certain services, certain elements, certain paychecks from the government don't go out during a shutdown. But in all, it just depends on what exactly the Senate and House does to fund certain parts of the government, even if there is a broader shutdown, if you will.
But in these so-called shutdowns, everybody eventually gets paid, do they not?
My understanding is essentially everybody gets paid. There might be some people that don't receive back pay, but generally speaking, our military gets back pay, law enforcement gets back pay. Congressmen still get paid during the shutdown, from my understanding, so there can be a debate whether or not that's appropriate. But my understanding is that people do get back pay during a shutdown or once the shutdown is resolved.
I want to ask you about the other historic thing that happened, and that is, of course, GOP debate number two. And I'm curious your impressions of what happened. What did we learn about this field in debate number two?
Well, I think it was another historic night for Republicans. I mean, it was another example of Republicans really taking up all the oxygen in the room as Americans are ready to make Joe Biden a one-term president. There obviously were a lot of heated exchanges on the debate. It is a debate, after all. But I think that also shows that Republicans have real ideas to address these solutions. Joe Biden and the Democrats are ideologically bankrupt. They have no ideas the problems that they created. In fact, they're just doubling down on the exact policies that created these problems in the first place. So Republicans have a lot of ideas. This nomination process is about hammering out those ideas, making sure that the strongest ideas come forward, and making sure the strongest candidate comes forward. And I think debate number two was part of that process. We saw real ideas put forward, a real discussion of the issues. And I think once this nomination process is over, our Republican nominee will be in the strongest position possible to beat Joe Biden.
Will this be the last time we see seven debaters on the stage?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, we have those requirements for the third debate. They're going to be slightly increased, but all in all, we're going to be applying those requirements in a way that is extremely transparent. It's going to be without any bias. So we're not going to be artificially setting a number. It's going to be based off of those requirements that are going to be applied fairly. But it's possible I could see a scenario where maybe six of the people that qualify for this debate qualify for the next, but maybe you have President Trump at the next debate, for example. So it really is impossible to say how many people are going to be on that next debate stage, but it's going to be based off of those fair and transparent requirements, just as the past two debates were.
And I don't mean to ambush you, but do you know what some of those criteria will be? I mean, what's going to be different as we move to Miami in November?
Well, what's going to be consistent are those pledges. We've had those pledges throughout, for example, the beat Biden pledge, other commitments to make sure that our Republican nominee is in the strongest position possible once they are that nominee. The other two broad requirements are based off of polling and fundraising grassroots donors. So basically, you have to reach a certain polling threshold, either nationally or in a set of early states, or you have to, and you also have to reach a certain level of grassroots donors, a certain number of Americans that are donating to your campaign. So those numbers are going to be increased slightly for this third debate, just as they increased from the first to the second debate. And the reason why we're doing that is I think voters expect that. They expect these campaigns to be polling well, to be reaching and connecting with a number of grassroots donors. And this is about, again, making sure that these debates serve the voters when it comes to hearing these candidates and their ideas, and making sure that voters have all the information they need to make the best decision possible.
I know in the midterms, we were outspent badly here in the state of Nevada. Are you seeing the numbers turn around, or are you seeing any spike in the fundraising nationwide for the Republican Party?
Well, what we are seeing is a tremendous amount of enthusiasm. We're seeing people that are donating. We're seeing people that are getting involved. We launched Bank Your Vote Nevada, for example, and that is something that was really an important effort, partnering with leaders in the state to make sure that we're encouraging voters to bank their votes as soon as possible by voting early, making sure they have all that information. And that's a nationwide effort, but it specifically was launched in a set of states already, and we're going to be building that out nationwide. But it's an important effort to make sure that we're really getting voters the resources they need as soon as possible, partnering with those leaders, grassroots-led, to make sure that we're not leaving any points on the board. We're fighting with both hands in front of us, not with one hand tied behind our back.
Again, Republican National Committee Rapid Response Director Tommy Pickett joining us. I'm just curious your impressions of the format, the way Fox Business ran this debate. There was still a lot of talking over each other, and is there a way of doing away with that kind of stuff, make it a little more civilized?
Well, I think that's going to be something that the moderators are going to have to figure out. Ultimately, it doesn't really help people that if they can't hear the candidates. That's something I think everyone agrees on. But I said this about House Republicans. I think the passion on the debate stage really does reflect the fact that we are at a turning point in this country. We are at a point in this country where if Joe Biden is reelected with the Democrats, they're going to do tremendous damage, double down really on the damage they've already done to this country, whether it's the open border, whether it's on the economy, whether it's on foreign policy. There's not a moment to lose. So I see what happened at the debate stage in terms of the passion and the arguments back and forth as a reflection of the enthusiasm on our side of the aisle. And the polls reflect that Republicans are way more enthusiastic about this election than Democrats. The trick here and the important part is to carry that enthusiasm we have now and make sure it doesn't divide us, make sure it unites us. Because what unites Republicans is so much more than what divides us, and we cannot afford four more years of Joe Biden in the White House.
Okay, I got to ask you about polling, and I know that the RNC's got to be like Switzerland. I get that, but the numbers are what the numbers are. Any major movement this past week, on the polling since debate number two?
Well, I think the tricky thing about judging polling from the debate is that you have the initial debate where people watch the debate, but then you have clips that are disseminated, you have social media reaction, you have coverage of that debate. So it's almost like you have two waves of the debate, if you will. So from my understanding, it doesn't, you know, it seems like the debate, you know, didn't really hurt anybody, but, you know, it's hard to kind of tell from the polling right now. I think that's part of what's still being discovered is exactly that impact of that debate, because I think we're still in the middle of that second wave, if you will, of people seeing those clips on social media that maybe weren't watching the debate. So I think that's where we are now. But all in all, there was a lot of coverage that came out of that debate. There was a lot of issues that were discussed. That debate took up all the oxygen in the room from Joe Biden. Joe Biden wasn't really in the news that day at all because Republicans were discussing these issues. And so I think that's going to be continuing, and I think that's an important part of this nominating process.
Tommy, I know that you're one of these guys as the rapid response director charged with developing the talking points, the messaging of the Republican National Committee. I want to ask you about a group that we're going to be talking a lot about over the course of the next year, and that is the issue of independence. What should the messaging be for candidates, not just at the presidential level, but the U.S. Senate, Congressional Assembly, State Senate? What should the messaging be to independence?
Well, I think the message to independence is really a message on preserving the American dream. It's the idea that when Americans are empowered to spend their own money, to live their own lives, to take care of their own families, the best results happen because Americans know best about their own lives. They know best about what they need in their own lives. So we need policies that, instead of taking money from the middle class and empowering the far left, instead of undermining American energy, instead of opening the border, we need a government that works to keep streets safe, but then empowers businesses, empowers small families, empowers parents to make decisions for their families. That's really the message, I think. And that's a message that I believe resonates with 80 to 90% of Americans, including many Democrats. So it's on us to make sure we get that message out there and say, if you believe that you know best about what's best for your own life, if you believe that you know best what's best for your family, then vote Republican, because Republicans believe in empowering parents, empowering families, empowering small businesses, while the far left believes in empowering big government while at the same time opening the border, and that helps absolutely nobody.
Tommy, people want to get involved, and I have people come up to me all the time. I'm just one vote. I want to go beyond just one vote. How can they help the cause?
Well, the biggest way that anyone can really help the cause right now is by going to bankyourvote.com and taking the pledge to Bank Your Vote. And I hear a lot of time from voters saying, if I'm planning on voting on Election Day, or, you know, maybe a few days before Election Day, why do I need to vote as early as possible? Why do I need to bank my vote early? And that's because the earlier that someone banks their vote, the more resources are freed up from the RNC's perspective, from the campaign's perspective, to chase those voters that haven't voted yet. So if you vote early, that means all those resources we would have sent to make sure that you do vote, we can send to somebody else. So if we bank every Republican vote as early as possible, that means we can go after those voters that haven't voted in a few elections, those independent voters. Basically, it frees up all of these resources that would have been going towards chasing down votes that would have voted for Republicans anyway. And so I think that's the important message here, by going to bankyourvote.com, by taking the pledge, and then following through to bank your vote as early as possible. You're going to be helping us not only make sure that your vote gets counted, but then going after all of those independents, all of those voters that don't vote as often, make sure that we get as many Republican votes as possible.
Tommy, I learn something every time you come on the show. Thanks so much for being a part of the show on this early Monday. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Tommy Pigott, Republican National Committee Rapid Response Director, joining us. Stick around. Coming up, the best from the Sunday shows. There was a lot of stuff, including Ron DeSantis was on. And this will be fascinating. Listening to Ron DeSantis, he's talking like a front runner, not like a second place finisher. We'll talk about that. He's talking about, in fact, I believe November 30th is the date. Yeah, for the debate with Gavin Newsom. Ooh, that could be interesting. Stick around. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Monday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. What's the continued fallout of the government shutdown? Has it been resolved?